All right. You are listening to the Pokemon Radio Club, an unofficial Pokemon podcast. My name is Morgan Barnes, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Anthony Fisher. How are you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Glad to hear it, my brother. And we've both been friends for 10 plus years, and we have actually been playing Pokemon together since we first met. Way, way, way back in the day, in different intervals. So we have quite a history of playing Pokemon together, even going back to our b apartment days where, we were 21 years old and we were crammed in our hot little apartment building in the hallway, all playing Pokemon with our friends. So,
Yep, that was good times. Good times right there.
and we wonder why we had trouble with the ladies. Who would have thought? I'm sure that had nothing to do with it.
Of course not. They would have known that we had Pokemon going off 24/7. They'd be like, "Oh my gosh, those guys are so cool!" But we were kind of shy about letting our Pokemon out,
Yeah,
so.
letting our Pokemon out of the closet, so to speak, or out of the Pokeball, so to speak. That's true. That's true. Women love Pokemon. Some do. But we wanted to start this fun little podcast because we've been getting together and talking about Pokemon almost every morning anyway. So we're like, hell, we might as well record it.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, it's just a lot of fun just talking about Pokemon with a friend. So, I mean, why not try and share our conversation with somebody else?
It's true. And we're going to be playing it for the next couple months, and then of course once X and Y releases, we're going to be playing it some more. So we this will probably be the prime of our Poke lives right here, so to speak.
It's all going down from here. We're gonna be like 40 years old, and we're gonna have like a Pikachu stuffed doll laying in bed with the next Nintendo DS, and we're just like, "Pokemon, Pokemon," and our daughters are just gonna look at us and be like, "My daddy's just a total freak."
See, my plan is to live vicariously through my daughter, buy her all sorts of Pokemon toys, and hopefully she does not reject. And then it doesn't look like I'm the weirdo. It's just all my daughter's toys. That's the plan.
That's actually a good plan right there. I think I'm gonna try that too with my daughter.
Vicariously live our Poke dreams through them. You train a goddamn squirrel. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Chose Bulbasaur? What the hell's wrong with
You're
you?
no daughter of mine. So true. But it should be fun. So, each show is just going to be a top 10 list of some kind and some breakdowns of our favorite Pokemon toward the end of the show for those that stick around. So, if every show is going to be based around a big top 10 list, what better way to get to know us and what better way to do our first show than do our top 10 Pokemon of all time just for fun? And then we'll break down a couple Pokemon after that. So, fish sticks, whatever the world loves to call you, my friend, I will let you start it off. When you sat down, there's like 650 plus Pokemon. How did you decide? What was your thought process?
You know what? I just actually brought up a little image off the internet of all the Pokemon sprites. Okay, and it's just all before me, and it went from generation one all the way up to the current generation that we're at, which is generation five. And so I just went through the list, and every time a Pokemon popped out at me, I wrote his name down. And out of like the 600 plus Pokemon that I could pick out of, I came out with about 30 odd Pokemon that I wrote down that I've used on my adventures through the games, and I'm just drawn to these type of Pokemons, just the art style they are,
Okay, so you did like a first batch and then kind of narrowed it down and down from there, kind of your instinct picks.
Yes, I mean, I got that initial of all the Pokemon that I kind of just really like, and then the harder part was actually picking and numbering them from 10 to 1 from my a absolute all-time favorite Pokemon.
It's true. It's true. All right, well, start it off, my friend. What was your number 10?
All right, well, number 10, burrowing in is my Excadrill.
Oh wow, Gen
Well,
5. All right, starting off with a Gen 5er.
actually Gen 5 actually it surprised me. I didn't think like the newer Pokemon it's kind of a weird thing with me. Like every time like a new generation comes out, I'm always skeptical about all the Pokemon that come out because, I don't know them, and like I always wonder, am I gonna like any of these Pokemon, or are they all gonna just be crappy old Pokemon that I just won't like? But it naturally I find a favorite of from each generation. But Excadrill stuck out to me because at first he was just he starts out as a little mole, Drillbur, and he evolves into this gnarly looking bigger mole, and he has like these big sharp kind of almost like drills on his head, and he actually balls up like a little drill to burrow through the earth. And I've never seen a Pokemon that was that cool. I mean, besides maybe as opposed to like Generation 1 where they came out with Diglett and he was just like a little ball sticking out of the ground, I was
And I
like
would
this
say
is
that
great.
Excadrill is a tad bit cooler than Diglett. Just a little bit.
I'd say he's like 100 bazillion times better,
Although
but
you just sparked the most cool battle in my head, just imagining a Dugtrio and an Excadrill just burrowing it out in battle. I don't think I've ever seen that before, so.
that would be pretty cool. I mean, they're both ground types, so there's no weaknesses going on. I mean, it's just a all-out brawl against once. I guess they're test of might, who could outlast the other one.
Who can use the ground to their advantage? Well, that's a pretty good pick. The funny thing about that is when I went through Gen 5 my first time, I actually ended up using Drillbur and Excadrill as well. Because I actually thought it looked pretty cool. Just kind of going through, just from a visual perspective, I got Drillbur and I just had a gut feeling that it was going to evolve into something cool. Because I didn't cheat the first time I went through Gen 5, so I didn't know what the final evolutions were going to look like. But I mean, sometimes you just see a first form and your gut reaction is like, I think this thing's gonna evolve into something pretty cool. So.
Oh yeah, and that's part of the fun of Pokemon is you find a Pokemon and you're like, I wonder what this is going to evolve to. Is it going to be better or is it actually going to turn for the worse?
Yeah, sometimes that'll be another top 10 list. Top 10 most disappointing evolutions.
Right. Yep.
All right, good call. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Excadrill?
No, I think I hit everything on that.
I concur. My number 10 is also from Gen 5. I wanted to get my two Gen 5ers out of the way. Being such a new generation, I couldn't have any too high on my list unless it really spoke to my soul.
Yeah.
So my number 10 is actually Karakosta, which is the battle-worn looking turtle that evolves from Turtwiga. Are you familiar with the Karakosta fish?
Yes, I am. That kind of strikes me as weird, though. Like, what actually draw you to that Pokemon? I
Well,
mean.
I think when people first look at him, they think he just looks kind of like his first form is this really cute, like sea turtle looking thing. And then when he evolves, he kind of looks more like I think some people feel looks like a kind of an old turtle kind of thing, like a wise turtle. But if you look closer, he actually has sort of like a battle armor look to him. Like I was kind of dissecting his look the first time I evolved mine, and the way they have his shell and everything set up, he really doesn't look old at all. If you look down at his features, it's all like sort of a battle armor look to him. Like they've like almost like a Kevlar vest or something like that, the way they have him structured. So, and a lot of his moves and things are designed to, really take hits, like sturdy and his defense, and he has a really good attack too. But I just something about his. I'm always kind of a sucker for turtles, like, and turtle Pokemon, and I just thought he looked like a very battle-worn veteran turtle, which I thought was cool.
Well, the thing is, I always saw him as just like a regular old sea turtle. 'Cause like, I mean, he has kind of those long flippers, for arms, and always thought that was kind of weird. But I'd imagine like in a water battle, he would probably be a very formidable
Well,
foe
he's water
against
and
another
rock,
Pokemon.
so.
Oh, okay. So that kind of mixes in with the battle armor type of stuff. I mean.
And he can use some good moves. Like, and when he uses Stone Edge, it's gonna have an attack bonus. And he's just really, he's just he's surprisingly powerful. And On top of that, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the flippers because I was reading some shit yesterday and they were talking about how some of his Pokédex or some of the things they say about him is like his flippers are so strong he can slap a hole in a tanker or something like that. It's
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
like that's kind of weird. You're just slapping holes into he's slapping that ass, Caracasta. Violent. But it's just weird. Some of the things they describe are supposed to sound cool, but they always end up sounding kind of silly if you think I don't want to
Yeah,
think about my
a
character.
lot of them are.
Yeah, I don't want to think about my Caracosta swimming around slapping tankers. Like that's not what he should be doing.
But it does illustrate the strength of Caracas,
Wait, isn't there like a move that Chansey learns that's called like I don't oh double slap? That's what it is, double slap.
I
That'd be cool
guess.
if Caracosta could learn double slap as his final move.
Yep.
It does like all this damage. That would be great.
That would be.
But I guess unless my enemy is a tanker, I'm not going to do a lot of damage. So yeah, let's see. Did I have any other important notes I wanted to say about him? He did save my ass against the last boss in Pokemon White 1, which I think is worth noting. And he's actually an extinct Pokemon. He's one of the only fossil Pokemon I really love. And although I always think that's funny when they say they're extinct, because honestly, I've bred probably hundreds of them, so he's not extinct where I live.
You brought him back to life in your Pokeworld.
I got a little fucking Caracosta farm chilling. But yeah, and one thing I wanted to mention each through our list here was the shiny colorations of each of these because I'm fascinated with shiny Pokemon, and just real briefly, I wanted to mention that. Now, your number 10 Pokemon was Excadrill Fish. Do you know what the shiny Excadrill looks like?
He's almost the same. I mean, he has a predominant black color with the steelish color type of limbs on him and on top of his head, and but he has these little, almost like kind of camouflagey, but it's more like just stripes running through his body that are colored red, and I think his
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
shiny
Let me back
version.
up. You're actually wrong. I'm sorry.
Oh, I am.
I was just double checking on Bulbapedia because I got Bulbapedia open for anybody who wants to follow along that doesn't know anything about Pokemon. His shiny's actually he's like a cool reddish maroon kind of a color. So his whole body instead of being brown is actually red, and his stripes are not red. They're actually like a blue color.
Oh, okay.
So he's kind of cool. It's hard to say if he's cooler or not, but it has a very unique kind of it reminds me of this Pop-Tart that came out.
Is it like a blueberry muffin topper?
I can't remember the name of the Pop-Tart, but it's the color scheme really reminds me of it. Oh well, it's kind of interesting. And I only mention that because shiny Pokemon, if you're rare enough to come across an alternate colored version of your Pokemon, it's always cool to see. So I'd like to see if you think it's cooler or less cool than the original. But and the shiny Caracosta is actually the weird thing about shiny Caracosta is it's just darker blue. I mean, it's just kind of like a darker tint of it's like a more of an emo Caracosta than the regular one. But shiny Tortuga, his first form is like this really bright, beautiful aqua blue turtle that I really think looks cool. But
Yeah.
it is what it is. All right, you're number nine, fish.
Number nine, Generation 3 Pokemon here. He's actually a starter. It's a Blaziken.
Blaziken.
Yes,
Interesting choice.
he's kind of the he starts out as a little, well, his first form's called the Torchic, and it's a little chicken almost. It's based off a chicken, and I don't know what drawn me to him, but I guess it was because he's a fire type of Pokemon, and I in my previous version I didn't play the fire type, I played the water type, and but I just wanted to play a fire type as my starter because they're usually a higher attack type of Pokemon, and yeah, his final form kind of threw me off at first, but I immediately just loved him because through Generation 3, which is the generation I kind of missed out on, was the fact that sorry, that threw me off. What the fuck
Yeah,
was
that was my fault. Sorry. Sorry, you and everyone who's listening. That was a damn Skype ad. Fuck you, Skype, and your ads. No, I was saying, sorry, go ahead. I'm actually surprised you threw a Gen 3, because I know you had sort of a disconnect with Generation 3, but.
Yeah, surprisingly though, that was the one poke because he was the starter, you know, and I held on to that one starter. Like that was my Pokemon throughout the whole game was Blaziken, and he was the thing that drew me really close to him was the fact that he was so powerful. He's like one of the powerful Pokemon that I played through a game and just kept him the whole way through until he was like level 80 or so, and I was done with the game and. I just put it away. I was like, man, that was a great game, man. The only Pokemon that I really liked was my starter Pokemon.
Please, Kenny, and fire and fighting, which when they started mixing up those combos, that was a very lethal one.
Oh yeah, it's very lethal. I mean, he has this one attack that I love so much, which is Sky Attack, and it brings about this kind of cool imagery as you're battling using a. That move, a fighting move called Sky Attack. I just imagine my Blaziken coming down out on a Pokemon and like blazing fire all around him and just like punching the shit out of his face and being like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'd be happy to know that Blaziken had his fair share of spots in the anime too. So if you ever want to go see Blaziken kick some ass, I'm sure you could go find some old Pokemon episodes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The anime always does a great job with the battles.
Shiny Blaziken is pretty similar looking. Then I mean he's basically his hair is he's just a little darker red, and his hair is more of a white instead of kind of that yellowy straw color. But not too drastic. All right, very good call. You don't want to know my thoughts about Blaziken. I'll keep them
Yes, please keep them to yourself. I know they're only degrading of
Wait,
him.
this is a podcast. I'm supposed to interject my opinion. You making
Go
fun of Caracosta's flippers and shit? Damn.
ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. I like everything about Blaziken from a strength and a move standpoint and everything. I'm not really a big fan on his look. I mean, he looks kind of like a human chicken to me, and I just that thought of a human chicken is very scary.
It's very cool though because he has his hands that come out and they look like the claws of a chicken. I mean, there's like three fingers and they kind of pinch together. It looks I understand it's kind of off-putting almost, but playing through the game with him, you kind of develop a weird relationship with your Pokemon. So I was thinking, like, I just accepted Blaziken for who he was.
Hey, you're gonna make fun of my next pick, so it's all good. That's all I gotta say about that.
Who's your number
Because
nine?
my number 9 is a Gen 5er also, because I want to get him out of the way. And my number 9 starts off with a little story. So, me and my wife were walking around a pet shop one day, and we're looking around, doing our thing when we first started dating, and I'm just, looking around, and I've come across these little, sugar gliders, these little like flying squirrels, and they have them, caged up in this thing, and we're talking about how cute they are and making all these jokes. Kind of, we have a lot of inside jokes about flying squirrels, and I was just like, I turned to her and said, "You know what's weird, babe? There's all these Pokemon, but there's no flying squirrel. There's no sugar glider Pokemon. That what the hell is going on?" Flash forward 2 years later, and you've got Emolga, which is sort of the Pikachu. Generate, every generation has a Pikachu kind of Pokemon, so to speak, and this generation's little rodent was a flying squirrel electric Pokemon called Emolga, which I just think is so fucking cute. I don't know, man.
I kind of agree with you. He is very cute, and it's very interesting. That's weird though. Going back to your past here, you got a pet shop that actually sells flying squirrels?
It's a pretty grungy pet shop, but yeah, they sell sugar
Oh.
gliders.
It's like a black market type of pet shop or
It's a little
something.
weird, dude, and I feel bad for him because it's like all huddled in this little thing because it looks all miserable. And occasionally, if you tap on the glass, which you're not supposed to do, it'll like just like suck up to the glass, all like rabies looking, like ah.
Oh
It's
Oh
pretty scary.
no.
But yeah, I feel bad for that thing because it should be free in the rainforest somewhere, gliding, licking sugar or whatever they eat. I don't know. I don't think they eat sugar. But I don't really have too much to say about Mulga, except that every time we have a tournament or something, I try and use it because I think it's really cute and awesome. And it always ends up being a liability for me because it's really not a very strong Pokemon.
Well, if I recall correct, actually, I had a bout with you not long ago in our tournament that we had between us and a few other friends, and I remember you used Emolga, and I actually had kind of a tough time with him because I had some type disadvantage with him, and I was afraid to pull out that certain Pokemon against him because you were using him correctly. He has this one move called Volt Switch, which I think is just perfect for him. It fits the nature of him because he's an electric and flying type,
Yep.
and I could just see like a Squirtle just swooping in for a quick attack, electrical attack, you know, and then swooping back out and going back into your Pokeball and you sending out another Pokemon in like a quick kind of like one action type of thing. And I think that move just is perfect for that Pokemon. But yeah,
It's
you're
true.
using him well. It's just he's kind of a weaker Pokemon, not that much HP or defenses on him.
I just wish they'd give him some sort of, I mean, he's fast, but I was comparing the other day to some of the other big ones like the Raichus of the world and things like that, and he's just substantially weaker. I mean, his attack is just not very impressive either, regular attack or special. So
Now,
if you he's more of an irritant than anything.
he's damn cute though.
He's a damn little cute little bastard, and his shiny version of himself is just kind of a slightly yellower tint. It kind of looks like Emolga, but if he was glowing, that's pretty much all it looks like. So, still very cute. All right, what's your now we're on to number 8.
All right, number 8. Still staying fire type and starter type, Charizard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was actually my very first Pokemon that I ever saw actually was his starter, Charmander, which is kind of weird.
I'm glad that he's higher on your list. I mean, no offense to a lot of people, and probably when you hear the top of my list, I'm going to contradict the statement, but Charizard's so popular that I think he's a lot of people's number one or top three, so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, even the card back in the day there was a holographic card in the trading card game of Pokemon, and it was actually very sought for to have the Charizard holographic because it was such an awesome card, and I guess people just love Charizard so much that it kind of grew in fame. But that card's actually worth quite a bit to this day.
Funny quick story about that, and I'll be very brief, because I don't want to take up a lot of your Charizard time, but I had a friend, and when I was a kid, I was not a great kid, or at least I let my friends around me do bad things, and I did nothing to stop it. So I had a friend who, everyone was getting into Pokemon at the time. We had people buying Pokemon cards that knew nothing about them, and this girl brought in these Pokemon cards she had just bought, and we're just like, hey, can we look through them? And she's like, yeah, I don't. Which ones are good, guys? And she just handed them to us, and we're flipping through, and sure enough, we come across a Charizard, and we're just like, oh my fucking God, are you shitting me? This chick doesn't even know anything about Pokemon, and she's got a Charizard. So my friend basically does this whole like slip the card down his shirt pocket thing, and we give her all the cards back, and she doesn't even really realize it's gone. Until later on, and then she didn't even really know the value of it. But once she realized it was gone, but she had no idea who took it because she had like five or six people looking through her cards, just like, ooh, can I see? Can I see? And then my friend ended up selling it at a card show. This guy came by and was like, look, I'll give you, at the time he had like 30, 40 bucks on him. He's like, look, I'll give you like $40 and this entire box of Magic cards that I was going to sell. So this guy dumped like an entire box of Magic cards on me and my friend didn't even want them. He's like, I don't play Magic, man. I'll take the $40 and I'll be happy. So he gave me this entire box of Magic cards that I had like thousands of them.
Oh man,
So it just goes to show that doing bad things pays off. No, I'm just kidding.
it sure does.
No.
I actually have an interesting little story that I have about that same card. Me and my sister started buying the booster packs for Pokemon, the trading card game, and it was like we might have bought like 10 of them, and we sat down in the living room and we were just opening up and we're like looking through them and we're like, oh cool, look at this, I got a shiny Gyarados. And we had just started buying this stuff too, so we didn't really know how to play it or anything. We were just looking at the Pokemon, and My sister ended up opening up a booster pack, and she's like, "Look at this one. This one's a fiery one." And she shows it to me, and like I immediately knew about this. And I was like, "Holy shit, that's a Charizard!" And like I kind of freaked out a little bit. I was like, "What the hell just happened? She has a Charizard, and I don't." And like I got kind of like this. I felt like I needed to have that card. So like I was like, I started pretending to look through my cards, and I was like, oh my gosh. And like I freaked out over something, and it was just like a regular Charmander. And like I was like, this is so cool. And like my sister's like, what is it? I was like, oh, look, it's a Charmander. And like I showed it to her. I was like, look at the drawing on it. It looks so perfectly done by the artist. It looks kind of old styly. And she's like, wow. I was like, I'll trade it for your Charizard. And she goes, oh, she started thinking about it. She's like, I don't know. I was like, no, this card is obviously better than that card. And like she was like, sure. And like she traded it with me. I was like, yes. I put it into my deck, and I held it there for a while. I was like, yes. And I held on to it, you know, and I felt so bad afterwards. I was like, holy shit, I just swindled my sister out of Charizard.
Hopefully she listens to this podcast and never forgives you.
Well, the thing is she still remembers that, and like later on down the road, like she looks at me, she comes up to me one day, and she sees me looking through my Pokemon cards, and she's like, that Charizard card's actually worth a lot, and that Charmander card that you traded me was what, Jack? And like I felt so bad. She's like, you swindled me that day. I was like, I know, I'm sorry. But like
What did you end up doing with the Charizard? Where did you still have it to this day?
I still have it in a Pokemon book, just with all my other holographics. I mean, it's almost like in a time capsule
Oh,
in
damn.
storage.
Sell that thing, man. Oh, that's crazy. All right, sorry about that. Yeah, we got a little tangent there, but that's a good story. We were
Yeah.
we both did very bad things for a Charizard. Yeah.
We did. Charizard's kind of a, but I mean, back to the Pokemon, he was my starter Pokemon, and another story, I guess.
Sorry. This actually makes some humorous podcast anecdotes, but that's the second time Skype ads have popped on. Jesus fucking Christ. Is someone gonna turn these ads off? I don't think there is.
I don't know. I think we have to start paying Skype or something, but I did
Oh
get a, I got an ad too.
well. Sorry for all of our listeners who have had that, and Fish keeps getting interrupted every time he's getting a thought. Anyways, Charizard as a Pokemon.
Yes. Anyway, I'm going to cut this story kind of short, but this was actually how I got into Pokemon. Was I was sitting in a social studies class, and we had some free time, and a bunch of people were drawing, and one of my friends was drawing this dinosaur looking Pokemon, and I started hearing all my other friends saying, oh, that's a good drawing of him. Yeah, that looks just like Charmander. And I was like, Charmander? What's a Charmander? So like I turn around, and I'm like, can I see that drawing? And he's like, I looked at him, and it was like, it was a really good drawing. My friend's a great anime drawer. He drew Dragon Ball Z characters, like the whole face from the face all the way to the body, and he drew them perfectly. He was a great drawer, and he drew Charizard, or not Charizard, Charmander. And I looked at this thing, and I was like, it looks like a. My first thoughts was, it looks like a lizard, but he has a fiery ball on the end of his tail, and like it kind of sparked like a weird imagination of cartoony, like weird evolution of our world's animals. And I started asking them, what's this from? And they're like, it's from Pokemon. I was like, what's Pokemon? It's like, you could watch it on Saturdays. It comes on in the morning. I was like, okay. So like I ended up watching an episode of it, and I see Charmander, and I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And that was my first actual encounter with Pokemon, and the first Pokemon that I ever saw in real life was a Charmander. And so naturally, whenever I bought the game soon after I watched that episode, I chose Charmander as my starter.
It was the one you'd first set your eyes upon. It's a good story, and the shiny Charizard, if you're lucky enough to get one, is black. So,
Yeah. That's kind of cool, actually. A black Charizard.
a black flying. Yeah, I had a big. I'm not going to get into this right now. Maybe one day if we ever break Charizard down, but I had a big argument at work about whether Charizard was a dragon or not, because technically he's not. He's fire and flying. But they were like,
Yeah.
everyone wants to say that he's a dragon. And it's like, well, he's not technically a dragon, but I mean, what is a dragon but a big flying salamander, a breeze flyer? So, yeah, that's for another day. I'll go over mine eight pretty briefly. I don't really have a lot to say about him to save some time, but I will say this. My number eight is Sandslash. And Sandslash, to me, it just obviously looks really cool. But what I love about Sandslash is he's the closest Pokemon I have to an armadillo Pokemon. There just are not any armadillo Pokemon, and maybe one day there will be, and I can change this around, and Sandslash will get bumped down the list a little. But armadillo's been one of my favorite animals since I was a kid, and Sandslash is the closest Pokemon relative to that armadillo class. But even then, he's still technically like a shrew kind of a thing, a violent-looking shrew.
Yeah, he's more of a kind of rodent with big oversized claws on his front, and he walks on his hind feet, but yeah, Sandslash is a pretty cool Pokemon, I think, too.
Yeah, very cool. And if you get if you're lucky enough to get a shiny Sandslash, that always gives me tongue shiny Sandslash. Really, which I did actually. And I'll talk more about this later. But I always got into breeding eggs to get shinies with the Masuda method, where you breed with a foreign Pokemon, it increases your odds of getting one. And I did get a shiny Sandslash. And it looks really cool. It's got like kind of pale white fur, and then like big red crimson claws shooting out its back, and pretty badass looking. Pretty badass. And
Was
it's a classic.
that the first shiny Pokemon that you ever got to?
No, that'll be later.
Oh,
That'll be later.
okay.
What's
Excellent.
your number seven?
Number seven, another starter is a Feraligatr.
Feraligatr, or is it
Yeah.
Feral Gator?
You know what? It could go either way, I
I'm
guess.
just kidding.
I always pronounce it Feraligatr. Because of, I think it's like a mix of fear and alligator, and that's kind of what the Pokemon kind of invokes because he actually has a move called Crunch, which is a dark type move. And that was actually one of the moves that I used the most on him was Bite and Crunch. And back in Generation 2, they just added two new types to that generation, which was the dark type and the steel type. And so I was kind of drawn to those two types, and when I found out that my Pokemon could learn a dark type move, I was kind of thrown off, and I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, my Pokemon can learn these different types even though it's not their same type. And this is when I was still learning all the kind of ins and outs of Pokemon and leveling up and all that good stuff about teaching him moves and stuff, but it was one of the moves that he had that really made me fall in love with him because
Such a simple thing too, just having a dark move like Crunch, and you're just like, it gave him a little kind of extra pizzazz for you.
yeah, it did, and back in those days, I distinctively remember how getting into like these tight situations with battles with other trainers in the game, and I would always have my Feraligatr head out there after he's been whooped on a little bit, and he's already at critical health, and I'm still trying to finish off this like Pidgeotto or something, and I'm like, oh man, this Pidgeotto is giving me a hard time for some reason, and I'll just start whipping out bites from him. And Bite has like a 40% chance of actually making the Pokemon flinch. And whenever a Pokemon flinch, they lose their turn. So I don't know what it was, but I guess my Feraligatr was pretty quick back in those days. I guess I had like a fast Totodile that I started out with who evolved into, Feraligatr. And I was able to take out stuff with just that, make another Pokemon flinch to his dark move. And it just felt so empowering to be able to go from like a critical state to like and going up against a Pokemon with full health and just using Bite rapidly against them until they died, And there were so many tight situations in the game where that certain incidents happened, it kind of just drew the strong love for that Pokemon. I was like, he was my go-to Pokemon.
You and this bite, goddamn. You were bitten. We were bitten and smitten for alligator. I will say this, he was pretty awesome. He would have easily made my list. I wanted to kind of, I already had enough starters on my list as is. But I will say this, he's definitely an extremely badass looking Pokemon, and his shiny, for anyone that cares, is actually pretty cool looking too. His shiny version is his skin, instead of being that dark blue with the red spikes, his shiny has like an aqua skin, and then he has blue spikes. So it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I've seen his shiny, and I'm tempted to actually try and get a hold of a shiny for alligator.
Plus, like, if you look at the old art style, like, I don't know what it is. Like, he still looks really badass now. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at the original, well, generally, if you look at the older Pokemon pictures, they look 50 times shittier. But if you look at the very old Gold and Silver sprite, especially the Silver sprite for Alligator, it just something about it just looks fucking creepy, man. I don't know.
Yeah, he had that creepy factor to him because he's based off an alligator.
He looks mean. Like, once you get his Totodile's kind of cute, but when you get to that last form, you're just like, oh my god. Well, they kind of jollied him up a little over time, but I still think he's pretty creepy. I mean, he'll probably look really cool in the 3D graphics coming now.
Probably. I mean, in the Gen 5 picture, he's kind of, or Gen 4, which is Heart Gold, which I'm actually playing through right now, but he has kind of a lanky look to him because his arms are kind of out to his side and they're just kind of dangling. So he has kind of a lanky look to him, but he still looks cool to me because, like, the image of him destroying the Pokemon back when I played Gold, Gen 2, is it, he was just. The image is just burnt in that he's this badass Pokemon, so.
True that. I mean, that's a good lead in, because my number 7 is also a starter. It's actually Mudkip from Generation 3, which I tend to like Mudkip more than Swampert or the other forms, even though they're stronger and still very badass. I gotta tell you, Mudkip was a special Pokemon for me because he kind of signaled, not, you know how like you're for alligator using the dark moves, and you thought that was really cool. Well, oh fuck, not again! Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? That's hilarious. All right. Well, let's just keep a tally now. That's 4 times for this podcast. Like, it's comical if anything else. But my Mudkip, that's when they first started mixing up the types a lot, in Gen 3. Really going with that whole pushing that dual type thing, even with the starters. I mean, even before, like, Frogadier, for example, is badass, but he's still just water. And that's one of the things that frustrates me about some of the classics, is they don't get big updates. Now, Mudkip is technically still water, but you can tell from his early moves and what he evolves into, it's going to be water and ground. And I just thought that was a really cool combination, to have, especially for a starting Pokemon. And he's really cute looking too.
Yeah, that ground and water type, it removes his initial most I guess it's
Glaring weakness, so to speak.
yes, which is electricity, and with the ground type, it negates that to where he doesn't take any damage from electricity, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
And
so I imagine like this big Swampert like chilling in the mud or whatever, and then like something that would normally thunderbolt me to death is like s just splashes right in the mud, and my Swampert just kind of gives it a little grin like, sorry, bitch, not
that's I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's always yeah, and actually Swampert's actually a pretty bulky type of Pokemon, and he can actually take quite a bit of damage and still be standing, but I'm not quite sure on how strong that Pokemon is because I've never been drawn to him.
Swampert, I mean, he's really strong. I will just say that before I move on, is he actually, the interesting thing about him is his attack is very high because of all the ground moves. So he actually has a better attack than special attack. And but he's very balanced. He's just kind of slow. He has.
Yeah, that's a pretty deadly combination to be able to shoot a hydro pump off to somebody and maybe doze off another earthquake against another Pokemon. I mean,
Well,
that
You get
That's a
special.
pretty awesome combination.
And you get special type bonuses for certain attacks like Muddy Water, even though it's a special attack, which wouldn't be horrible because the special attack is still solid. But Earthquake and some of his other ground moves are going to be really strong. And if you make him learn any water moves that are actually physical attacks, you'd be set. But and his
Yeah.
last move he learns is Hammer Arm, which is a fighting move that's really strong, which is kind of funny. Just hammer bitches down. His shiny, unfortunately, like a lot of blue Pokemon, his shiny is purple, so very disappointing. And he's forever known to people as the nipple cheek Pokemon, so
Oh.
which is just fucking awesome. All right, moving right along. What's your number six?
My number six would be Scizor, the bug Pokemon, the bug and steel type Pokemon. And he's actually the evolution of Scyther, which is from Generation 1. And Scyther's actually a pretty cool Pokemon himself, but he would have easily made it onto my top 10, but I had so many other Pokemon. He just didn't make it on there. I just had to go with his evolved form, which I generally like a lot better. But yeah, Scyther is a bug and flying Pokemon with based off of Praying Mantis, has a green body and has these long scythes for arms, and it's a very intimidating type of looking Pokemon, and I wouldn't want to be caught in its gaze.
Wait, so
And
your number six is Scyther or Sizer?
oh, Scizor. I'm trying to lead it up to
Oh, I got
the
you. You're
evolution
building
of
them up. I got
yeah. Well, the thing is like when they went from Generation 1 to Generation 2, they added this thing where if you put a certain item on a Pokemon and trade them over, they'll evolve into a different Pokemon. And they did this with just a handful of Pokemon. I know they did it with Onix from Gen 1, and then in Gen 2 they introduced his evolve form where if you put a metal coat over him, or if you give him a metal coat and trade him to somebody, he actually evolves into a Pokemon called Steelix. And it's like he still keeps that kind of rock snake look to him, and it looks just a lot more cooler. But for Scyther, if you give him a metal coat, he goes from a bug flying type to a bug steel type and evolves into Scizor. And when I first laid eyes on Scizor, god damn it.
What's up?
Damn. Oh, it was just an ad.
Oh, you got hit with the ad too. I thought you were getting emotional when I first laid eyes on Sizer.
Yeah, I just bawled my eyes out. I was just like, this is the greatest
Got
Pokemon
choked up.
ever. Actually, no. He just looks so cool to me. Because he lost his size, but he still retained pincers to kind of go with the bug theme, which is he's a part bug. But I thought he was just such a cool looking Pokemon, even though he looked kind of like he had this big Andibin sticking out underneath him. Yeah, but I always thought that was cool. He's all red, and there's actually not that many Pokemon that I could think of that are, in this kind of metallic type of red color. And everything from his art style just totally caught my attention, and I thought
Yeah,
it
I
was
mean,
a
just the
cool.
fact that you trade him with a metal coat kind of makes it sound like he's sort of like a, almost like a robotic kind of
Yes, he does.
bug.
Like a robotic type of bug, yeah. And
Although the only negative, and he's actually really strong now that I'm looking at his full attack stats and stuff, it is kind of unfortunate that he does have, he's bug and steel because he has a massive weaknesses to fire.
oh yeah.
But
Yeah,
that's
that's
really his own main weakness is act his only weakness is actually fire, but it's just a huge one.
well, it's kind of a trade-off. I mean, you know to watch out for a fire attack from some fire type Pokemon, but
Yeah, just
with
keep him out
this
of that room.
yeah, exactly. Well, what's interesting is one of the Pokédex entries for him is the reason I this is they kind of give like a backstory of why he's so weak to fire is the fact that his body actually runs at like 3,000 plus degrees Fahrenheit. So he's like this really hot Pokemon on the inside, and his wings aren't used to fly. They're actually used just to cool off his body and maintain a certain level of degrees in the Pokemon's internal body, I guess. And it's weird, but that they actually mention all this stuff. But it kind of relates to his type advantage, which he's 4 times weak against fire, because fire destroys bugs and fire also destroys steel. So I'd imagine if like just like a flamethrower near his body would set off this weird reaction to him where he couldn't control his body temperature and it would just automatically cause him to faint.
That's very true. And for the record, shiny Scyther, if you're lucky enough to come across one, is actually more like the colors of Scyther. It's kind of a greenish color to it. Not quite as cool looking, but interesting. It's also funny that if you look at the Ruby and Sapphire picture for Scyther, and maybe it's because the colors back in the day, it's the only Scyther that looks orange. It's kind of
Oh, that's
funny.
weird.
Yeah.
That's
It's very fucking weird. All right, good choice. Scyther is kind of a cool one.
no, well, no, it was Sizer
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, Scyther, sorry.
though.
Scyther. Scythe Scyther. Yeah, Scizor is a unique one. Hopefully you get to use him one day, because you didn't use one in our last Pokemon tournament, and he actually
Yeah.
his attack is pretty up there, man. It's pretty respectable.
It is. Hopefully I'll be able to use them in the next battle.
Wink, wink. So six for me is kind of I think a surprising one for you too. It's Cacturne from Gen 3.
Whoa, that's I never thought you would like that
It's
Pokemon.
weird. A lot of people don't. Because I sit around telling people how much I love Cacturne all the time, and they're like, "What?" No, I'm just kidding. That's so strange. I totally figured you to be a Bolton. So the weird thing is, Cacturne, when I first saw him in Gen 3, reminded me of Cactuar from Final Fantasy. So I always have a sweet spot in my heart for fighting cactuses. But the real reason why I love it is I generally despise grass Pokemon because they are my main weakness as a water Pokemon lover, and also I think most grass Pokemon just don't look appealing to me. But Cacturne is grass and dark, which I just think is a really cool combination. And even though he's kind of weak defensively in some areas, he hits pretty hard if you train him right. So I mean I just think he looks badass. I mean he's got sort of an aggressive nature to him. Just his face, he kind of reminds me more of a scarecrow than a cactus, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he does. He has that kind of weird hat-looking thing over his head that kind of comes down just a little bit over his eyes, and it gives him that dark look. So that dark typing definitely fits in with that Pokemon.
It really does, yeah. I mean, something about it. And I hope that he gets a better profile picture coming in Gen 6, because his profile pictures are all okay. But I think because of the limited technology, they're not able to really animate his face right. So his face always looks a little more scrunched than it should, because there's really a lot of detail in there, and his face is the scariest part of him. But they're not able to animate it properly yet, still. If you just look at all the pictures of them. And if you're lucky enough to come across a shiny Cacturne, it's kind of this cool sunrise color, kind of like a dark orange, burnty kind of a look to them.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I think about trying to get one day. We'll see. But I think it does look cool. It's hard to say if it looks cooler than the classic, but kind of does in its own way. So I thought that would kind of throw you off. That Cacturne was my number six.
Definitely did. Definitely did.
Cacturne. All right, so what's your number six, sir? Are we on
We're
five?
up number five,
Oh, we're
yeah.
on five. Okay, sorry, I lost track of our count. Wow, we're only on five, man. We are
Halfway point.
doing good. All right, what's your five?
Number five would be Garchomp.
Garchomp. I
The
knew he was
dr
going to make an appearance here.
Oh yeah, Garchomp's he's my favorite dragon Pokemon, and it's funny because he's a Generation 4 Pokemon, and I remember going through Generation 4, and I was probably about 3/4 of the way done with the game, and you came up to me and mentioned something about a dragon Pokemon that we both missed as we were going through the game together, and it was actually a hidden type of cave underneath. It was like a road or above road. And you had to go underneath it, and you physically couldn't see your character, but I mean, you can move your character around, and eventually you'll wiggle your way into a hole, and it's kind of weird because like once you get into the hole, like all you find are these little Pokemon that are part ground type and part dragon type called Gibbles, and they look kind of weird because they're almost like a all mouth type of Pokemon. Like think of like a I guess a Pac-Man mixed with dragon, and I mean that's what a Gibble
Dragon Pac-Man.
looked like. Pac-Man in a dragon costume or something, but it was weird how you actually get them, and it added kind of that elusive type of feel to that Pokemon for me, and I wanted to get one after you mentioned it to me, and I was like, oh cool, I'm gonna catch me one, and I ended up leveling up him up, and I just fell in love with how he looked because he's a dragon type with a ground type as a secondary type, and they actually base him off, I guess, a land shark.
Yeah,
And
that's the coolest part of him to me is that he's based off being a land shark Pokemon. And even though sadly we'll have to ban him in future tournaments because he's a pseudo legendary, he is he's pretty beastly looking. It's hard to find someone who really has anything against Garchomp visually, but yeah, I mean he's a land shark, which has always been a cool fantasy of mine, sharks that live in the sand and stuff.
It's pretty cool to think of like some Pokemon swimming through sand and then just jumping out at you like a shark almost, and it's just a pretty cool kind of ferocious type of imagery you get out of him.
Yeah, and we had our last Pokemon tournament, which we did allow him in. Your Garchomp was just tearing people up, so.
Oh yeah, he was destroying the competition.
He's an
It was
animal.
so much it was so much fun using him, but
Sadly, his shiny is, if you're lucky enough to come across a shiny Garchomp, it's almost exactly the same color. It almost looks, there's almost no difference. But.
that's a quite a disappointment, but I guess the fact that he's so cool, they didn't want to give him such a more awesomer type of secondary look.
It'd be too much. It'd be too much.
Everybody would be like, I need my Garchomp now. I need to use a Garchomp right now.
Good choice. Good choice. Garchomp. So my number five, now that I remember what number we're on, is actually probably another surprising one for you. It's Cyndaquil. Or should I say Typhlosion. And I tried to keep starters out of this list, but somehow they kept coming back.
It's hard to negate them because they're there from the very beginning of your adventure all the way up to the end usually, you know. So
Well, and
I don't
this.
think
I'm sorry, go ahead.
was there ever an adventure that you went through where you actually abandoned your starter Pokemon? Because I hear stories about people doing that, and I'm just like, that's just wrong.
That is animal abuse and neglect. Yeah, no, it's hard to say. I mean, there are some cases where I've used them just to get to a certain point, but if I'd used them a lot before, but generally you stick with it, or they'll come in handy if you get stuck somewhere because they're already such a high level just from having to use them every time. But Typhlosion, the appeal for me, if I had to break it down to simple terms, is that I always go water, and I'm not privy to many fire types at all. But he's a fiery badger beast thing, very fast, very strong, and he actually makes a di I love Totodile, and I love Feraligatr, even though they didn't make my list. But he makes it very difficult for me to pick them because he's so badass, and that alone for me is huge because I always go water, always, and he always makes me kind of want to go fire instead because he just appeals to me. And I always get a Cyndaquil and name it Cyn, which sounds really dumb, but it's just something I've done since I was a kid. I always get Cyndaquil and name it Cyn, and he's just like the second coming of death metaphor for doing bad things as I go around and destroy everyone's Pokemon. And one of the funny things I noticed too going through this generation is that if you start with a fire type, the whole beginning of Gen 2 is so easy. It's like they knew that people were gonna, want to get a fire type or something there because you start off that game and you're, of course, fighting all the really basic stuff at the beginning, but then you go to like a Bellsprout tower with nothing but Bellsprouts, and then your first gym leader is a flying type, which is weak to fire, and then you go to a bug gym, and then you spend some time in a forest, and it's like everything is like designed to be destroyed by fire. It's crazy.
Well, that's the whole nature of fire is if your house is ever on fire, it's pretty much destroyed. You might as well just run the other way. I guess that's how if you see a Typhlosion in the distance, you better run because that motherfucker's gonna start bringing a bunch of fire around him.
It's true. It's true. He's bringing the pain, and his shiny is kind of a weirdish, purplish color. It's not the coolest thing in the world. Kind of a violet fur instead of that blue fur that looks so badass. But yeah, he's my choice very simply because he makes me abandon my normal type preference, which is water. Which is tough. He's the only starter that makes me do that. What's your number four?
Number four is a water type, Samurott from Generation 5.
Wow, all the way up there. That's a pretty high jump.
His first form drew me directly to that Pokemon, which was Oshawott, and he's based off the otter. And I have this thing for otters, like sea otters or river otters. They're one of the coolest animals in the wild that I actually like watching them just live. And they use like I guess a shell or a rock to break open shells and eat it, and look so cute whenever they're floating on top of the water.
We used to
But
call for people that don't know when you live back in the apartment. I don't know why you got this nickname, but everyone called you the little water otter. And I just thought, I don't even know how that stuck, honestly, because your
I
nickname is
don't know
fish.
either. I accepted it though because I actually like otters, but his final form kind of threw me off because he kind of gets like a seal look to him. But his second form, which is called Dewott, was probably my favorite out of that whole evolution. But just for the sake of naming his final evolution, I had to pick it because he slowly grew on me.
So
And
you would have almost preferred to have him stay standing up as opposed to getting on four legs?
yes, I thought that was just it was kind of a weird evolutionary type of thing, going from standing on two legs going to four legs. But I later found out that he actually can stand on his back legs, and that he actually pulls out kind of like this almost dagger looking thing. And Samurott is actually a play on otter and samurai, and when I found that out, it almost
That is cool.
instantly it is pretty cool. Otter clad in samurai armor and everything, but his second form actually looks more like a samurai because he has those big kind of poofy leg armors that samurais are known to have. And he actually pulls out his two shells, razor sharp shells, out of the sides of his leg armors. And it looks so cool because the animation, he crosses his arms like you would in like a western of pulling out your guns, but he's pulling out shells, so it's like it's pretty badass looking.
But
But
Samurai does this?
the samurai actually does this.
Is
Apparently,
this in the TV show or?
yes, this
Oh,
is in the
okay,
TV show.
gotcha.
But yeah, he actually does that, and when I found that out, I was just like, okay, I love this Pokemon.
That is pretty cool. I mean, I wasn't as privy to his first forms as you were, but I loved his last form. He was my starter on Gen 5 too. And his shiny, by the way, is kind of a pinkish color to his horns and his armor. Which is kind of doesn't look very cool to me, but
No, it doesn't.
that's a good choice. Okay, wow, I didn't know you. I'm surprised that he's this high on your list, but that is cool. That's a good surprise.
Yep.
Just show some Gen 5. Well, my four is actually also a water type. Now, I do not like legendary Pokemon on a principle, and I don't like using them ever. But I couldn't help but put one of my favorite Pokemon, legendary wise of all time, on this list, and that's Kyogre, or however you pronounce it, Kyogre. I don't know how they say it.
He's a legendary fish.
Kyogre. I think it's supposed to be like Orca, but it's They did ogre. I don't know. I think the name on that one's kind of weird. But yeah, it looks like a big kind of like I don't want to say it look like a big Shamu, but it looks like a big Shamu mixed like whale thing mixed with like Tron kind of designs. Which,
Now,
if I remember the first time I booted up Pokemon Sapphire, when I got it, I was kind of getting out of Pokemon, or I hadn't played in a couple years, and I got Pokemon Gen 3 when I was a kid for my birthday, just for fun. I was like, hey, mom, if well, you could buy me Golden Sun, just if you want to get Pokemon, I'll give that stupid kid game, I'll give it a shot, whatever, you know. And then I popped it in, and I was like addicted, all over again. But when you first start up Pokemon Sapphire, there's a Kyogre right there on the main screen, and it's the those like Tron looking designs on its body, they just like glow, and it just looks really fucking badass. And I was like, oh my god, whatever that Pokemon is, I gotta have it, and gotta have it. And I did, and I used him too, which I don't use a lot of, and he's really beastly strong all around, and he has some really powerful moves. He has this one water spout move that's just insanely strong. But in general, for me, it's just the visuals. Even though if you're lucky enough to get a shiny version of Kyogre, it's purple, which is kind of disappointing. Just something about the look at it. When I look at it, it's just appeals to. It very much looks like a classic Pokemon design, but it appeals to my imagination in a way that it's sort of like the ultimate sort of water god legendary Pokemon, which is kind of what it is. It was its whole thing in the show and in the game was that it possesses the ability to expand the oceans, and then had that whole conflict with Garuda and stuff. So it's kind of like the king of the ocean, so to speak.
Yeah.
Despite Will, sorry, what was that?
I lost you just a little bit,
Oh,
but
did you give me the part where I said he was? I basically in summation, he's kind of like the king of the ocean.
yeah.
And then I just ragged on Sea King a little bit for being the nut.
Oh, the Sea King. Is that the goldfish Pokemon?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, very stupid Pokemon.
Yeah, he thinks he's the Sea King.
Little does he know that Kyogre can just chomp him right in half.
We feed off Sea Kings for lunch. Kyogre does. So yeah, I mean, we didn't want to put a legendary in the list, but I couldn't help it because I do generally love him that much. What's your number three?
Number three. All
Oh,
right,
top
going in
three.
top three
Drum
here.
roll. I don't know what that
This is
was.
very hard. This is very hard, and it kind of upsets me that he made it to number three. And
Oh,
it wasn't higher up it, but it would be Heracross above the,
Heracross.
yeah, Heracross. And I fell in love with him whenever I first saw him, which is you have to headbutt a tree in the game. And one day I was just headbutting trees like in a row. Like I was going to one tree, I headbutt it, and nothing came out. I'd go on to the next one, and like. This was like whenever I was trying to fill out my Pokédex, so I was pretty far into the game, and I was just trying to catch Pokémon to, populate my Pokédex and get more Pokémon. And I actually came across a new Pokémon that I'd never seen, and he came falling out of a tree, and lo and behold, it was like this beetle-looking Pokémon, and
Beetle fell right onto your lap there. Just rolled right in.
it did. And like I looked at it, and I was like. Whoa, this is actually based off a beetle that's actually in Japan, and it's actually a pretty big size beetle too, but I just recognize it because I used to live in Japan for like I lived in Japan for 4 years when I was like 8 years old, and I just remember those beetle type Pokemons. I never actually saw one, or I did see one physically. It's just there were bugs, and they kind of move slow. But I saw this bug Pokemon, and I was like, "Whoa, this is so cool!" And I immediately caught him, and I started training him, leveling him up, and I got him up to pretty high level pretty quick. And he learned this one move called Mega Horn, and little did I know at the time, but I started using Mega Horn, and whatever was in my way, I would just Mega Horn it, and it would be dead. And I was just like, "Holy shit, this Pokemon's so strong!" And I just quickly fell in love with him because of how his battle prowess was in the game. And I took him through the rest of my adventure. I took him all the way up to like the Elite Four, and I was Mega Horning bastards left and right. I was just like,
the
yes. It kept.
few that can learn Megahorn, I believe. Which is
Yeah.
just an insane attack.
Well, which is weird. My previous Pokemon, Samurai, actually could learn Megahorn as well, which is.
Huh.
Yeah,
You're just a
it's a
horny
bug.
guy.
I am. They both got horns, but yeah, Heracross is. He's just a cool Pokemon. The way he looks, too. I mean, he has like that big old horn on his head, and funny little thing about him is like he's they drink sap from trees. That's like their, I guess, their nutrition, and it's so funny to think of like a little beetle jumping on a tree and just sucking sap out of it, and then jumping down and like horning some like other Pokemon out of the way to get it away from its tree.
Sap's got all that fucking protein in it, man. That's all the bugs that are caught in the sap, but then that would make him cannibalistic if he eats other bugs. I guess it doesn't work that way.
No, I don't like to think of my Heracross that way. I like to think that he's a cute little guy who just loves sap, and that's his energy protein.
This nectar of the gods. That's a good choice. And his, unfortunately, his shiny is not bad. I know it's a his shiny. If you're lucky enough to come across it, is kind of a purple colored Heracross.
Yeah, he's I actually looked at that too, and it's kind of a shinier because, you know, the carapace of a Heracross, it's kind of has a shiny sheen to it, the way they pixelate it. And the shiny version, out of all the purple Pokemon, I guess it looks somewhat decent to me, at least. But
Yeah. As far as purple goes, I'd say he's one of the. It fits him a little more.
yeah.
If you, especially if you're making him Mega Horn bitches, you know. And that's whenever I think of you, I always think of your Heracross love. Even going back to the day, and me kind of going, "Really, Heracross? He's just such a happy looking fucking Pokemon. He's so damn chipper." But he
He
hits hard, so I guess that's kind of what's funny about him. He's just a happy-go-lucky, guy that walks around just fucking people up.
That's him. So who would be your number three Pokemon?
My three is actually, this is a huge jump. Shiny Heatmore. Launched all the way up on my list. Now, this is the only exception I made to this, was that I liked the alternate color version of Heatmore so much that it totally changed my whole perspective on this Pokemon. When I first came across Heatmore in the game, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. There's a little anteater Pokemon that shoots fire, but it didn't really look cool color wise, and it was pretty weak. And I was like, yeah, I like the concept, but yeah, I could live without it. Who cares? But when I started getting into shiny hunting and learning about shiny Pokemon, and I saw shiny Heatmore, it is basically, I know you described it as looking kind of like it's straight out of Tron.
Yeah, Tron Legacy. I mean, the latest release of Tron, where the visuals were so appealing and impacting, of I guess those little lines that go through the bodysuits of the characters and throughout the whole world. It's just that glowy line going through stuff, and it gives it kind of that cool, kind of futuristic look to them.
It does, yeah. And on Heatmore, especially because I imagined him, he's kind of got this like sort of suit armor thing going on, and he's got claws, and he has like this weird like pipe thing going out of his asshole, and he's kind of like this little, like, he's almost like a human flamethrower, so to speak. But he's got claws, and instead of, it's cool because he has a little, instead of a tongue coming out, he's kind of got a, like a flaming tongue thing.
Yeah, it kind of flickers out. His animation is that little. It flicks out like a regular old anteater's tongue, but it's just flame shooting out of it, and that's actually a pretty cool animation on that Pokemon
It
too.
is, yeah. It gives him a lot of personality, and he one of the real few reasons why he learns the move Lick, which is a ghost move, and I kept it the whole game just because it was just, I had to have Lick, man. I gotta have it for the Licks people. It's funny because my Heatmore actually had a couple ghost moves, so he had like fire moves and then Shadow Claw and Lick, so he had kind of like a ghost element to him,
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
in my imagination, in my head at least. But just his design, yeah, like you said, being dark black with those red glowing lines in his alternate color, I think that if that would have been his main color, people would have liked Heatmore probably a lot more, just from his look. He's not the strongest Pokemon in the world. I'm going to try and train one right and see what I can do with him, maybe, because his special attack and his regular attack are solid, but he takes hits hard, so. It's hard to tell, but I loved his shiny design so much that I literally got into shiny breeding. And real briefly before we move on, I would say that he's the first shiny Pokemon I ever got. I got into researching online the Masuda method. I went and traded some guy in Japan for a Japanese purloin, which was like a cat Pokemon. And then I bred it around for about a week until I got about 86 eggs. And I sat down in front of my TV one day and I was watching Walking Dead on a Saturday morning, hatching my last couple eggs, and
Out came a shiny, huh?
out came a shiny. I almost couldn't believe it, I'm sure. And I have a video of it, so maybe I'll put it on our Pokemon Poke Radio Club Facebook whenever we get this thing going in a couple weeks, so for all the world to see
Should.
my nerdiness. All right, so we're down to the last two, man. What's number two?
Number two, I love this Pokemon ever since I found out what type of Pokemon he was, and he keeps on evolving up my chain of loving him, I guess. Like if there was a chain where you have to crawl up to someone's love meter, like he just keeps on crawling. He keeps going up there. Like eventually he'll probably just stay at number one, but he actually came to number two, and that's Cubone, the bone Pokemon.
The bone
And
Pokemon. Well, I remember you loved Cubone a lot as a kid, because I always imagine you. I always thought of you. I always thought of Heracross and Cubone, but you never really use them. That's the weird thing.
yes, yeah, so that's a very weird thing about him. It's like I never use him, but little side note, I'm actually using him in my current adventure through Heart Gold
Oh, very
in the
cool.
game. Yeah, it's very cool. And no, I was drawn to this Pokemon because he's kind of like a dinosaur-looking type of Pokemon, but he wears a skull over his face, and always thought that was just weird because the rest of the Pokemon, like looking at Pikachu or like Magikarp or any Pokemon from the first generation, which is where he's from, you see kind of just they all look kind of cartoony, and they look very, they have kind of like a good look or a happy look to them almost, that's the type of thing that most of the Pokemon look to me. And but Cubone struck me as like this dark Pokemon because he had a skull hide in his face, and I was like, where'd he get that skull from? Like where's he put on this cool ass mask, and then he goes around holding a looks like a femur of a Pokemon and in a club, and it always I guess it attracted me to that Pokemon. But he's just his look attracted me to him, and I always thought
More
that
than
he was
Mar
evolved.
so his evolved form Marowak. I mean, how do you feel about that?
It's like I said, it's still climbing up that chain, and Marowak actually, he's grown on me too. But initially, I always thought Cubone looked a lot better than Marowak.
It seems like he needs one more form because, I mean, if you look at Cubone's stats, he just has one type, or a Marowak, just has one type. So he's ground. And his stats, his defense is solid, but and his attack is okay. But he doesn't really have any. I mean, he can take hits okay, but he doesn't really have any really special qualities to him. So that's probably why you've always kind of danced around using him. But
But
he could be, if you use him right, I'm sure he could hit, do some damage.
he could.
But this is more about being favorites. I mean, I'd love Emolga, and it sucks. So, I mean, it's okay.
Very true. Yeah, but I found out like that the Pokédex entry for Cubone was that he's actually called the Lonely Pokemon, and it says that it's usually the Pokédex entry says something along the lines of this Pokemon's always crying, and it mourns for the its dead mother, and it wears a skull of its dead mother. And I always thought that was like a creepy factor added into this Pokemon. I was like, whoa, that's just weird that he misses his mother so much that he puts on the skull over his head of his mother. And I think that's something that the actual developers kind of deterred from going into, but I could tell that they wanted to go into like a darker mode of Pokemon, but like, and that was like the gateway Pokemon, and it kind of but it was kind of went popular with younger crowd of, kids. So at the time, I guess they were just like, no, we better keep it kind of PG-ish and not let kids know that their Pokemons are robbing graves of their bones and they're putting it over their heads.
Well, the whole part in the game in the original where you do the whole Cubone Marowak thing is just really kind of somber and down. It's kind of downtrodden compared to the whole game. But and there's a lot of crazy rumors that we'll talk about one day where people think that Cubone is actually the baby in the Kangaskhan pouch, and that Kangaskhan was supposed to be Cubone's mother, and that got scratched at the last second. There's a whole theory about that on the internet that's really interesting to look into. But yeah, no, that's a good choice. And his shiny version is he's all green, so he's kind of weird looking. He's like infected with some sort of virus or something.
He looks, it's like a putrid green. I guess he got kind of molded
Yeah,
from
he's just
some bad bones that he put on himself.
I could tell like gangrene or something. Some weird, like flesh rotting virus. It's zombie Cubone, man. Maybe that's what it is. All right, so zombie Cubone. So we're down to number two on my number two. Almost through this whole list. No, my number two is actually da 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 Sharpedo.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I had to have
That
seen that
high.
coming.
Well, I knew Sharpedo was gonna be on your top 10. I just
Didn't know
couldn't
where.
believe. Holy shit, that's so close to number one. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, technically my number one's so untouchable, but it's Sharpedo. Sharks I've always loved since I was a kid, being one of my favorite animals, if not my favorite animal, because there's something about them there that scares me deep in my core. But there was never a shark Pokemon for the longest time until Gen 3 came around. I remember, the first time I came across a Sharpedo, I was just blown away. I was like, I gotta have that Pokemon. And it has a lot of the designs. It look at first, I gotta be honest with you, even though I thought it was amazing and I had to have it because it was a shark, it is a little off-putting the first time you see a Sharpedo because it doesn't have a body. It's like
Yeah.
it's basically just like it's kind of shaped like a scone, like a breakfast scone. Except that it's got, a shark face, and it's just weird looking. So I was like, this is like the most badass half of Pokemon ever. Where's the rest of it?
Maybe you gotta find its body and capture its body and then fuse them together.
Just like something like that. Tail of Sharpedo. So. Or maybe I thought maybe it had another evolution or something, and because it almost you could. I mean, if you think about it, if it's Sharpedo, it could be the middle evolution of some really insane, scary Pokemon down the road if we're lucky.
Oh yeah. If we were lucky, yeah, we would get that, and we all shark fans would just be drawn to that Pokemon indefinitely,
It's true.
because he has like the coolest shark menacing look to him, because he has like those scars, which a lot of sharks in the wild I know have scars from all their feeding and fending off, from attacks from other sharks or whatever, or I guess, but yeah, Sharpedo has I guess it's kind of that trademark cross scar over its forehead, and
Well, and he
it.
also resembles that one of your favorite Pokemon, Garchomp,
Yep.
who's
Yeah, he does.
the Land Shark Pokemon. There's a cool correlation between the way they look, that design on his head, those scars you're talking about, and then of course he's got his fins are almost look kind of bent up and bitten and stuff like that.
Yep.
It looks really badass, and he's just very scary, and another cool thing about him is he's water and dark, so it's a really cool mixture for me. I mean, they took advantage of making him as creepy as possible, so dark moves have some extra wallop to him. He has a really high attack. He takes hits pretty badly, but he's really fast and he can bite the fuck out of you. So he did some damage in the last tournament. I didn't even EV train him properly, so I plan on having a much better Sharpedo in the future. And maybe one day I'll break him down the road and we get more into it. His shiny version, if you're lucky enough to come across it, I would still cherish it if I did, but it's purple, so it's not really that cool looking. But he's just a really oddly amazing. And yeah, when I was putting this list together, I was just as surprised as you. But when it comes down to something I have to have, Sharpedo's right there. So,
Well,
all right, man, this is it. This is the grand finale, so to speak.
all-time favorite Pokemon of ours.
All-time favorite Pokemon. I know you love Labored. I almost said that weird. I know you labored over this decision. Who made it? Who made the cut?
Tyranitar.
Tyranitar, classic.
Yeah, he is a classic. He's from the second generation, and I guess the thing that really drew me to this Pokemon was the way his evolution chain started, because he starts as a Pokemon called Larvitar, and it almost looks like to me like a starter type of Pokemon, and you don't come across a Larvitar in the Gen 2 game until way late into the game. So when I came across him, I was just like, whoa, is this like a new starter Pokemon or something? But I came across him in the wild, and he just he I was drawn to his first form, and then I just immediately took him into my party, and I was like, I'm gonna start training him up and see what kind of Pokemon he evolves into. And he evolves into his second form, which is the Pupitar, and it was like it looked like kind of like a Metapod from in the Caterpie Butterfree evolution chain.
So you knew at that point, you're like, oh, it's gonna evolve into something else. It's gotta have a
Yeah,
third. Yeah,
because if he evolved into a Pupitar and stayed there, I was just like, oh, this Pokemon sucks. It just looks like a little brown turd, with eyes on it and little spikes. I was like, oh no. But
funny thing is, you have to keep him as that little brown turd with spikes, or the little blue turd with spikes, till level 55 just to get a Tyranitar.
yeah, and that's like 20 levels of messing with him. But the fact that you get him late in the game, you're already fighting Pokemon that are like level 60, so you could get him up to par pretty quick. So like I stuck him with like a experience share because I couldn't really battle with him, and just because he looked kind of weird to me, I was just like, I'm not gonna use a weird looking Pokemon in battle. But I eventually got him close to like the level 50 area, and I was like, damn, this Pokemon hasn't evolved yet. I wonder if he's actually gonna evolve. And but I just stuck with it, and eventually, after I got done with the battle, it was like, your Pupitar is trying to evolve. I was like, what the hell? I was like, all right, I can't wait. And he evolved into like this big old dinosaur looking type of Pokemon that he changed his type from rock ground to rock and dark. And I immediately was like, holy shit, this Pokemon looks badass. He had like these spikes going off his back, and he had like these arms that kind of stick out to the side, almost like a T-Rex, but they were more not so little. They actually look good proportions for
Yeah,
him.
like those little stubby little T-Rex arms. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I initially thought from him. It was like kind of like a T-Rex, but not quite. And he had like this cool looking like chic face where he had spikes going off the top of his head that all just went all the way down to his end of his tail. And yeah, I just from when I first saw it, I was just like, oh man, I gotta use this Pokemon for like the rest of this journey.
You know, funny thing I would say in response to a lot of that is I agree with everything you said for the most part. I actually did the same thing. I came across Larvitar and I thought it was such a cute, badass looking Pokemon that I just started training the hell out of it. I knew it had something else coming just from looking at my Pokedex and looking at the gaps in the Pokemon and seeing that there was three spots there. So I knew that there was something coming, and I just had to know what that third form was. Because every generation, I figured it'd be sort of like the Dragonite of the second generation. Just from where you found him in the game and how late he was in the Pokédex, I knew he had three forms. But because the only thing that throws me off nowadays, he looks amazing. But if you look at pictures of Tyranitar starting off in the early days, they couldn't do it right. I mean, if you look at Gold and Silver, he's all scrunched up because he's all like fat and they couldn't like pixelate it properly. And then even in Ruby and Sapphire, his neck looks all like broke, like snapped out and like retarded looking. It's not until like Gen 4 and 5 that I think they really have been able to make him look like he was. So it sounds dumb, but when I got to him, I was like, well, it just doesn't look as cool as I hoped. And then I saw him on the TV show and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, wow, this looks amazingly badass.
Yeah, they were kind of limited to the actual gaming device that they had, which was, I think, the Game Boy Color, which it came out on, but
Yeah. But I mean, he's gotten he looks badass now, and he always was intended to look badass from a design perspective. It's just, it's funny because that had turned me off, and I was like, oh, I did all that work for this. It's
that's funny, because I actually just I fell in love with how he looked, and he was a very strong Pokemon too, being a pseudo legendary type of Pokemon. And no, I loved using him in the game. And
What do you think of his shiny? If you're lucky enough to come across a shiny Larvitar and you evolve him, his shiny form is like sort of a desert tan color with like a purple belly.
yeah, his belly's kind of like this light greenish type of color, and it goes to a purple. And I actually kind of like that. It looks like, 'cause that inside of him actually looks like where he evolved from as a Pupitar, which is weird, 'cause Pupitar has like that weird almost same look of how Tyranitar has that look on his belly. And I actually think that's pretty cool that they pronounce that in that shiny,
It's true.
that.
Well, actually, if you think about it, I'm actually looking at the pictures right now. The shiny version of Tyranitar has a purple belly. But the regular version of Tyranitar has a blue belly, and that actually fits what you're saying, 'cause Pupitar is blue.
Oh yeah.
So you can actually see him popping out. But if you have a shiny Pupitar, he's purple, which is the same that goes with the shiny belly. So you're right. It's like they're saying that that middle belly section is actually like, it's almost like there's a little Pupitar trapped inside there or something.
Yeah.
He didn't really evolve. He just got stuck inside of Tyranitar's belly. But
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Pokemons, and a little Pokedex reading from him is he's a Pokemon that likes to go around, and he brings down mountains whenever he goes on a rampage, and he actually picks fights with other Pokemon to see who's better. And I think it's kind of funny because one of his type weaknesses is fighting, and both of his types are weak to it, so he's totally weak to fighting. I just kind of find that kind of ironic that if he ever comes across a fighting Pokemon that he wants to fight, he's going to be sorely disappointed because he's going to get his ass whooped pretty much by a fighting type of Pokemon.
That's pretty awesome. So I should just pull out my anything with fighting moves. That's good to know. I had no idea actually that until you just mentioned it, that Tyranitar was weak against fighting. That's a very interesting weakness to have.
It is. I mean, it's a Pokemon that's just a big old bully, and then when it comes to actually fighting, he's just like he gets his ass whooped, which I just find kind of a little comical. But overall, he's actually a very strong Pokemon that I loved using because of the fact that he's so strong.
He's got a lot. And that's interesting about him. He's in some ways he's a little overpowered, but he also has more weaknesses than you'd expect, and he's not immune to that much. But he is a beast. He hits really, really hard. Your Tyranitar did a lot of damage during our last tournament, so we're gonna make sure to ban him forever,
No.
just because he's a pseudo legendary. But now, yeah, that's a good choice. I was curious to see what your number one was gonna be, and that fits you very well, I would say. I would say, my number one to kind of close things out. No surprises for anyone who knows me. It's definitely Blastoise. Much like your story with Charizard, Blastoise was the first Pokemon I ever got, and he also was. He's still to this day. I think he looks the coolest, and I don't really know why. He's not like the most complex looking Pokemon. He's just a turtle with his cannon sticking out of his back. But sometimes simplicity goes a long way, and I think he just looks extremely badass. Especially being a kid, loving turtles so much when I was younger. Turtles were my favorite animal. I used to draw pictures of turtles and stuff all the time. So it was a perfect combination for me. I had this dream one time when I was younger where I was actually like a Pokemon trainer that someone had to fight. And they came up to me on the beach, and it was like sundown was going down. And you just see me standing out there in the water about up to my waist. I'm just kind of looking off into the deep part of the ocean. And the trainer's trying to get my attention for a battle, and there's nothing around me. It's all still and quiet. Sun's going down. It's kind of like orange in the sky. And then you just slowly see this Blastoise just rise out of the water next to me. And that's kind of how I start the battle. And I just imagine all these ways that if I was ever in a Pokemon game and I got to like win a contest where I was had my own gym or I was a character in there, Blastoise would definitely be my the anchor to my team, so
Yeah, that's funny you say anchor, because yeah, I actually nicknamed him anchor in your team whenever we had that tournament a few months back. And no, I actually liked Blastoise too. As I was watching the anime, when I was heavily watching the anime, like every Saturday, I would watch the animated Pokemon show, and Squirtle was actually a favorite of mine back then, and I always thought he was cool. And his second form, War Turtle, was also a cooler form. He looked kind of like this misty-looking kind of warrior type of Pokemon, and then eventually he evolves into Blastoise, and Blastoise, he's pretty cool. I have to give you that, yeah.
He
But
is. I mean, his neither of his attacks are overwhelmingly amazing, but if you put enough into him, he's really well rounded all around. His stats are well rounded. So, that's all I'd say. I actually thought I had more to say about Blastoise when I made my list, but once I got down to it, I was like, I think his design is perfect. He speaks to me, and he's the first one I ever used, which I think most people, if they made a favorite Pokemon list. As ununique as it might be, that first Pokemon is probably going to be a lot of their first ones, which I'm glad yours wasn't. I mean, yours was Tyranitar, which was a Gen 2er, so I think that's cool. Yeah, so he's just amazing. I look forward to Eve training one properly to use him for battle in the future. Now, what we'll do here for the sake of time, because this did go a little longer than I thought, maybe we'll do top five lists in the future. I don't know.
Yep.
It did go pretty long. Oh, I was just going to tease, me and you are training. We have this whole Pinsir Heracross rivalry going on. And if anyone listened to what you were saying about Heracross, they know how much you love that little guy. So I've been training a
Oh,
Pinsir
yeah.
so that I could find something to try and combat your bug Pokemon. And we're going to battle it out here in a week or so, and we'll record a podcast, and maybe we'll mention how that battle goes. My only concern for you is, and I don't care how strong your Heracross is, he's part fighting type, right?
Yes.
So last time I checked, he's going to be weak to fighting, correct? Partial.
Heracross?
Part.
No.
He's not
Is
part.
he? I don't think so.
He is weak to. Oh, he's resistant to fighting half. Huh. That's weird. I thought maybe if you're part fighting, aren't fighting Pokemon good against fighting Pokemon?
No. They're just kind of at a standstill, so the if you got two Pokemons going at it, it's gonna be kind of like a boxing match.
Fuck! I totally had this whole idea. Oh, that's how fucked my types were. I was expecting it to just demolish you with some fighting moves. Wow.
No, well, the thing is like my Heracross is actually bug and fighting, whereas Pinsir is actually just bug. So you wouldn't have that advantage, of using fighting type against me. Even though I think does Pinsir learn fighting type
Oh
moves?
yeah, that's almost all of what he learns. Ironically, a lot of what he learns are some really cool fighting moves. That's why I've really been enjoying leveling him up. So,
Yeah, that kind of threw me off. Like, you're not really a bug Pokemon type of person, are you?
nope. Yeah, no, I mean, the only reason I'm trying to get into a Pinsir is so that I have something to do battle with your Heracross. But
Well,
I'm growing in a fondness for him, so.
it's a funny choice because Pinsir, I know, is actually based off of an actual real beetle in real life that's pretty popular in Japan, where the kids actually like grow them up and they actually fight their pin or I don't know what's the name of the actual it's not a Pokemon, it's an actual species of bug, but I don't know the name of it, but they actually grow them and they have them fight other bugs, and they also have them fight like beetles too, which look almost exactly like Heracross, and it's weird, like it's like this big rivalry, I guess, in the world of little kids and catching insects, and like looking at them, and then they actually got to fight them. Like if you actually put them in a cage, they'll actually go at it, and the actual species that Heracross is based off of uses his horn to actually try and like fling the other bug across the cage, and it's just kind of cool that they actually have Pokemon that
That is
Our
cool. Maybe for the first battle, if we do like a best of three match, maybe for the first battle, we'll both have to set our bug Pokemon, my Pinsir and your Heracross first, and just let them duke it out to start things, and then see how that goes, and then just start fighting like normal.
That sounds like fun because I don't think that they learn any moves that are they're actually weak to. So it would be a pretty good back and forth type of battle unless one of the others was just overly powered and, you know.
Well, the cool thing is, even if you EV train them, you never know. Their individual values are going to be, every egg you get is kind of a little different in how it grows. So, maybe it could just be a couple stat points here and there, but generally that doesn't decide a match. It could be a critical hit there, critical hit there. Maybe a move you're not expecting, but it is interesting. Very interesting. All right. Well, I think it should be fun. We'll talk about that on the next one, just to have our legendary halfway point battle there, as we're kind of playing back through Heart Gold and Soul Silver to get amped up for X and Y. Which, speaking of which, right before we're going to close this podcast now, but did you see the Pokemon they announced last night?
Oh, they announced a new one.
They announced a new one live here on the Pokemon Radio Club.
Holy
Let's
shit.
get
Well, I'm very interested to hearing about this Pokemon from you.
Well, it is actually a Japanese sword Pokemon. It's kind of interesting because it's steel and fighting, I believe they said. Or no, steel and ghost, I think they said. And at first, I'm kind of anti the Pokemon that are animals. They're kind of like inanimate objects. But it's kind of cool. It's like a weird, big, floating not Japanese sword kind of looking thing. And there's a lot of pictures of it going around on the internet that you should definitely check out as soon as this podcast is over. I'll have to send them to you. So
What's the name of the Pokemon?
the name of the Pokemon, I will actually find it right now while we're recording live. Honedge, Honedge, like hone the edge of your sword.
Oh, okay.
You
Interesting.
gonna look it up right now while we're live on the podcast? We want to get your live reaction, Fish. Live reaction to Honedge.
I'm
Yeah,
searching for him.
I can send it to
Let's
you.
check him out. Yeah, it'd be better if you sent it over the computer.
I
I'm
will.
going through my phone.
Because we're recording this on Skype, I'll just go ahead and send it to you that way. There you go. The link should be easier. Honedge, I just announced him the other day. So I'm not really big on these kinds of Pokemon, but Steel and Ghost is kind of interesting.
That is a very interesting type, and I guess it from the sound of things, it's just a sword. Oh my gosh, it is just a sword. That is pretty cool though. You know that it's very it's one of those odd Pokemon
You
that
can.
every generation has, you know. They have like I know in Gen 5 they had the Litwick evolution chain, which was just a candle and it was on fire and then it evolved into like a chandelier, you
Well, here's
know.
the thing they don't show, and there's a video I'll send to you when the podcast is over, but it unsheaths itself during battle, so that's just the sheath version, I think. I'm pretty sure that it pulls out, and there's actually going to be a sword.
Holy smoke, that is
And
crazy.
the guy who announced it the other day, he had a Pokemon X and Y announcement. He talked about how it, he this whole legend of it having a soul deep within its sword, like some Japanese tradition and all that. But I'm gonna send you,
Interesting.
yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'll send you the video right now. But if that's the case, I'm actually right before we close this, I'm gonna watch it to see if it does unsheath itself. To, yeah, it does toward the very end. It's cool because it unsheaths itself and it becomes like an actual floating sword. And then that soft ribbon part that's coming off the handle actually wraps itself around the sheath to hold it, and then it floats.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. That's something that, you know, they're kind of doing something new with almost with their Pokemon is, well, not really. It's just they're kind of taking it almost to another degree, because they've had inanimate objects or Pokemon based off of like bells and like big old gongs and stuff like that. It's pretty cool that they actually came out with a Pokemon based off a sword, because swords are pretty cool to begin with, and that's just weird.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like I actually think it looks, as far as inanimate Pokemon goes, it looks really cool, especially with the new graphics. I mean, that just brings it to life, I think, in a way they couldn't have done before.
Yeah, definitely.
Because now they can show it unsheathing and floating, and it actually gives something like that a personality.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that'll wrap up for the first show. Nice, good top 10 list. And
Definitely.
good times, good times. So thanks for checking out the Pokemon Radio Club. From everyone here at the Pokey Radio Club, we gotta do the classic sign out. I don't even know what it would be. So we'll just say good. We don't have a classic sign out.
Until then, keep journeying on, my friends, and we'll see you in the next podcast.
We shall. Peace out.
Peace.